everybody. So just so I can get a sense of what your interest in, you know, this particular topic might be, I wanted to ask a few questions. If you could raise your hand so I can get a sense of who's in the room. Are there any nurses in the room? A couple of nurses, okay. Anybody who works with nurses? Yeah. Anybody who hires nurses? Uh-huh. How about anybody who's ever been cared for by a nurse? Okay. I'm not a nurse, but we'll be talking a lot about the Care Transitions Education Project, which is a project that was started a few years ago in Massachusetts. And you can see the tagline here, which really describes the project: improving effective person-centered care transitions across the healthcare continuum. I have no financial relationships. We're giving the curriculum away. And these are my co-authors, colleagues, and friends who couldn't be here today, but who are really at the heart of the leadership of the project. Okay, so the Care Transitions Education Project is an initiative of the Massachusetts Senior Care Foundation, and we received funding from RWJ Robert Wood Johnson's Partners Investing in Nurses' Future initiative, which had several versions of itself but has since ended. And it was a collaborative also with the Northwest Health Foundation out of Portland, Oregon. This is a graphic that just kind of describes how we started thinking about this project. Our aim is to equip nurses to lead more effective patient-centered care transitions across the continuum. And, you know, everybody's talking triple aim and achieving the triple aim now. And the pillars represent different types of care transitions initiatives. There are a lot of them out there. We have Eric Coleman, Mary Naylor, Boost, and RED, as well as sort of local care transitions quality improvement initiatives. And so we decided to focus on the workforce, which needed some brushing up in their core competencies to allow them to implement any type of care transitions initiative. So this project is not a program, like a care transitions package program. It's an educational strategy, a workforce development strategy that, when used, can equip nurses across the continuum of healthcare to more effectively improve care transitions using any kind of model or program. So the workforce strategy is maybe what makes it a little bit unique. Oh, and why nurses? I'll talk about that a little bit more, because obviously effective care transitions require multidisciplinary teams and the patient and family as part of that team. Well, the funding came for a nursing project, and so that's, you know, what our focus needed to be. But there were also good reasons for doing it that way. So, you know, you're all here because you know about the importance of care transitions, but just so you can see, this is the definition that we were working with from the National Transitions of Care Coalition. If you haven't seen their website, they have great information and resources. And then also the transfer of a patient from one setting of care or one set of providers to another during an episode of care. And then the bit at the bottom we added, with all care settings considered important to ensuring quality patient-centered care. And that was a nod to our goal to really connect people across the healthcare continuum and acknowledge the value of all types of care settings in working together to achieve effective care transitions. And so, as you're all aware, ineffective care transitions cause a lot of needless suffering, and there are just a few items on this slide that describe what the problems are. I won't read through them all. But, you know, you've probably all seen the average of 1 in 5 Medicare beneficiaries discharged from the hospital is readmitted within 30 days, which is now linked to all kinds of financial interests. So that's why these are some of the reasons we focused on care transitions, because it didn't have to be about care transitions. It just had to be about the role of nurses and some type of quality improvement. So here's another reason why RWJ and, you know, others thought that it would be worthwhile to look at the nurse's role. And this is a quote from the IOM Nurse of the Future report from 2010. And nurses are the largest segment of the nation's healthcare workforce and very close to patients in all types of care settings across the continuum, and so may be uniquely positioned to help improve the processes as part of the healthcare teams, multidisciplinary healthcare teams. So, as I said, we all use acronyms. We use CTEP. They don't like it that much at the beginning because it sounded like some terrible medical procedure, but it was just the easiest, so I'll say CTEP. So as I mentioned, it's not a program, it's a workforce strategy, and it's focused on building these foundational competencies, knowledge, attitudes, and skills that nurses need to take more leadership in effective care transitions. And I want to talk a little bit about that word leadership, because we spent a lot of time sort of hammering out what that meant with all of the sort of guild issues and silos in healthcare and, you know, concerns about who's doing what and who should be doing what and who shouldn't be doing what. We spent a lot of time defining leadership. This program is focused on individual nurses, and they are educated together, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. But it's workforce development focused on an individual nurse. And so we define leadership as, you know, leadership from the bedside to the boardroom. And so any individual nurse could find leadership in his or herself to help improve care transitions in small ways or in, you know, complicated great ways. So we decided it was leadership with a lowercase l. Nobody was ever trying to say that nurses should be the leader of the healthcare team when it comes to transitions. It was more about nurses finding it within themselves to see that as part of their role and sort of stepping up. And not even really like stepping up to do a new thing, but sort of discerning how care transitions is actually part of nursing practice already. So here are the goals of the project: increase the number of frontline nurses prepared to lead, small l, and improve patient-centered care transitions, and also to complement existing care transitions efforts at the local, regional, state levels. Our project started in 2011 and ended just this past August, officially funding ended, and you can see that we had a whole year for curriculum development. My role in the project was as a consultant initially. I was hired to coordinate the curriculum development process, working with a committee of nursing professors and directors of nursing and nurse educators. And that was a gift for me to have a whole year. I rarely had the opportunity to spend a whole year really developing what a curriculum should look like with so much input from so many people. Year two and three was to pilot and evaluate the curriculum, and then finally to revise it and disseminate it. So this reflects our curriculum development process. We had a committee that met monthly for a year. We had external evaluators and internal evaluators on our team who also met with us to develop the evaluation along with the development of the curriculum. We did focus groups, and we did sort of any gathering we could go to of healthcare professionals. We tried to find opportunities to get input from people about, and not just nurses, multidisciplinary health professionals, about what it was nurses needed or what they needed from nurses to help achieve more effective care transitions. So we had, you know, 200 is probably lowballing it, but we had input from at least 200 healthcare professionals about what the content of the curriculum should be. And we ended up with three essential elements: a curriculum toolkit that requires 24 hours of an individual nurse's time to deliver. It consists of four interactive group learning modules. I'll mention what those are in a moment. Bringing nurses together from across the continuum to learn with and from each other. It consists of a patient tracer experience, a patient shadowing experience, and a quality improvement project. So the group learning modules can be delivered in about 4 hours each, and these are the topics of each of the modules. The learning objectives and the competencies that we included were based in Nurse of the Future competencies and interprofessional, you know, competencies. So the first one is just to help nurses understand all of the aspects of care transitions and the healthcare continuum, because we have participants who've worked in acute care settings their whole life and have no idea what nurses in skilled nursing or home visiting do. The second module is about the role of nurses, and that speaks to what I mentioned before of helping people see that this is not one additional piece of work that they're being asked to do, but how what they already do in their daily nursing practice impacts care transition outcomes. The third one was not the most popular, but considered really necessary, and that was about systems thinking and the business of healthcare, which most nurses don't really want to have anything to do with, but is unavoidable and really important for nurses to have a basic understanding of what's happening with healthcare reform and financing. And finally, quality improvement. So the the patient tracer experience, the goal was for every learner to participate and to go to a care setting other than the one with which they were most familiar and be an observer, not participate at all in a patient care kind of way, and try to observe a care transition, a part of a care transition experience from the patient and family perspective. This was, a nightmare to pull off, but at the end, the participants counted this as probably the top most important thing that would impact their nursing care in the future. And 68% of them actually did do a patient tracer experience. And the third piece, the quality improvement project, there were about 2 hours of content interwoven in the curriculum modules for them to practice using tools like, root cause analysis, 5 whys, fishbone diagrams, simple QI tools, not things that would be overwhelming, and to see how they could drive the process and carry out tests of change. So we piloted this with 8 pilot sites in Western Massachusetts. Each pilot consisted of a cross-continuum team, so it had to be at least 3 different types of facilities teamed up and working together and being trained together. And you can see all of the numbers here. We provided training for the educators, train the trainer model, and then we had them implement the curriculum as, you know, we evaluated it. So this just shows all of the different kinds of participants. You know, we had adult daycare, acute care, schools of nursing, skilled nursing facilities, home health, you name it. And, Robert Wood Johnson, we had an external evaluator in a very substantial evaluation process, which gave us a lot of great information. So 100% of the pilots completed all the evaluation tools and activities and all 4 of the curriculum modules. A lot of them presented it multiple times to accommodate nurses' schedules. And as I said, 68% completed the patient tracer experience, and 7 of 8 of the pilots initiated the quality improvement project. Outcomes and knowledge. 6 of the 8 sites demonstrated an increase in knowledge, those knowledge competencies from pre to post. And of those 6 sites, the increase was significant. And the pilot cited its impact on knowledge, awareness, and ability to improve transitions as its most valuable impact. Respect. We knew from the outset, and we heard from all quarters, that attitude change is going to be one of our most important things to address and perhaps the most difficult to address and to evaluate. So a lot of that worked through bringing the nurses together from across the continuum to learn together and about each other. So we found that 44% of learners gained more respect, and we thought that was low. And so we looked at the data a little more closely and found that the other, 68% didn't gain more respect because they already had a lot of respect for nurses across the continuum, or their teams didn't, because we were asking them about respect, nurses working in multiple different kinds of settings, and maybe some of those settings weren't represented on their project teams. It really broke down those cultural hierarchies that nurses experience among themselves as well as among other health professionals. The respect significantly increased for nursing students in the pilots where students were participating along with active nurses. And there was a lot more collaboration that came out of it. So these are some of the quality improvement projects that were initiated and that worked. Using warm handoffs more consistently, increased awareness of patients' perspectives, more detailed review of discharge materials, better understanding of teach-back. So we revised the curriculum, and you can see some of the things that we changed here. One of the important things was allowing more time for the interactive activities to really occur instead of, you know, people wanting to focus on the overview, you know, the PowerPoints, because they were easier to do. So the schools and 7 of 8 of the pilots have now reviewed as their QI project their care transitions curricula, and 3 haven't actually embedded the CTEP curriculum into their curriculum. And 3 of the service pilots are continuing their QI initiatives today, and 2 have added the entire 24-hour training as part of their new nurse orientation. So these are some of the best practices to really use all 3 elements. To be careful selecting educators. Some nurse educators are used to teaching skills, nursing skills, clinical skills, but it was important to find people that could facilitate interactive activities and discussion and to train nurses together. So these are some of our next steps, statewide expansion, put the curriculum online, and especially develop further strategies. Everyone wants to link care transitions outcomes to reduced rehospitalizations and patient satisfaction, and obviously it's impossible to link improvements of those kinds to one particular initiative. You know, we looked at nurse satisfaction, nurse retention, and we had some sort of, you know, qualitative input that patient satisfaction increased, but we really want to find more tangible ways to measure, and if anyone has ideas, I'd love to hear them. So finally, we did put the curriculum online. It's here at our website. Everything's there. And it's all available. You can use pieces of it, although best practice is to use the whole thing to achieve the intended learning outcomes. But there are a lot of little nuggets there that you could use. And finally, Kelly Aiken is our project director. We're going to be developing a community of practice, maybe some webinars, and if anyone's interested in that kind of thing, you can contact Kelly. So thank you. Thank you very much. Sorry, I flipped through that pretty quickly, huh? Was there another question in the back while I do that?
I was wondering about your tracer experience. Is that based on like the lean process flow sort of setup, or are there
Well, we looked at a lot of different patient shadowing, patient tracer, both with medical students, and you know, and we kind of pulled something together from them all. But the most important thing was to really have direct interaction with patients and families, and to participate as an observer. And there are other interactive, there are other independent learning activities in the curricula that nurses can do if they couldn't get off-site to a different kind of place. Thank you. I forgot to mention one next step is everybody felt like this curriculum could really be adapted for interprofessional education, and so that's something we're also looking at.